roadmap for living. And the word today, this is the fourth message out of this series, and I think there's one more. And today, the word of encouragement. The word of encouragement. How many of you like to get a word of encouragement? Anybody out there? Well, if you didn't say yes, you're lying, because we all like words of encouragement. And matter of fact, they are so precious and sweet to us. And Proverbs really talks much about the power of our words, both positive and negative, in the book of Proverbs. You already really know as Christians how powerful words are. I trust you do. We can use our words to bring joy or sorrow, healing or hurt, discouragement or encouragement. Proverbs says the words are like a hammer, a fire, a cup of cold water on a hot day. Have you ever known someone that believed in you and let you know it by frequently speaking words of encouragement and praise to you? This is the kind of person who made you believe in yourself, in your future, and what you could do to get there. And I thought as I read that, my dad, as a young person until the time of his death, November 14th, 1982, my dad probably was my greatest encourager. He was forever telling me, you can do great things. You can do whatever you set your heart and mind to if you're just willing to work toward those goals. So my dad was really my great encourager. And then after my dad, probably my mom, and after my mom, my wife, has been my greatest encourager for the past 48 years. I like the scripture in Proverbs, he who finds a wife, verse 22, finds a good thing. How many of you know your wives are good things, men? Amen? And we obtain favor from the Lord through our wives. We obtain much favor and much, much encouragement. So Barb, because of the amount of years that she's been my encourager, has by far outpassed my mom and dad, because she's been my encourager for so long. And I appreciate her encouragement in my life. So the word of encouragement from Proverbs, first, the power of encouraging words. Just listen to the word of the Lord. You won't be able to keep up this morning in the book, in Proverbs. But just listen to the scriptures, the power of encouraging words. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. How many of you know violence and wicked are connected? How many of you know that righteousness and the well of life is connected? The Message Bible, and this is Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of a good person is a deep, life-giving well, but the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. Speaking recklessly is like the thrust of a sword, but the words of a wise person brings healing. Some people make cutting remarks and think it's cute, but the words of the wise bring healing. Proverbs 18:21, and this was in our text today for our reading, if you're reading for the day of the month, today being the 18th. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What powerful words. And those who love it. If you love death, you'll speak death. If you love life, you'll speak life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. When you say, what you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. The Message Bible, words kill, words give life. They're either poison fruit or good fruit. You choose. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. How many of you know anxiety and depression are connected? Anxiety causes depression, right out of the Word of God, Proverbs 12:25. But a good word makes it glad. It makes our heart glad. Heaviness in the heart of a man makes it stoop. But a good word makes it glad. Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up. How many of you love the Word of God? Isn't it precious? And the last one, Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Your joy determines what comes out of your mouth. Your level of joy is directly related to what comes out your mouth. I'm going to let that soak in for a minute. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. What a joy it is to find just the right word for the right occasion. Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It's wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. How many of you really appreciate that? How many of you have been in a situation where somebody says to you, well, I know what you're going to say, so just don't even say it. We know they're not going to say the right thing at the right time. They're going to usually say, I told you so. Sweetest words that ever rolled off the human tongue. But not very edifying. Amen? Words of Proverbs. Words are like scorching fire, burning hot, hurting. They're like a deadly ambush. All of you'll find all of these in Proverbs. A deadly ambush. I wasn't expecting that, or that came by surprise. Sword thrust, piercing and wounding. A tree of life, wholeness and uplifting. Sweet as honey, very enjoyable and very tasty. Sweet as honey, like an arrow shot, which wounds. It's like a healing oil. It brings health. Harsh words, anger words, bitter, hateful, are harsh words. In apples of gold, and I wrote, by apples of gold, beautiful and pure. Encouraging words. Encouragement lifts up a heavy heart. By speaking positive words, it is speaking words that inspire others with courage, hope, and strength. The word which you keep between your lips is your slave. The word spoken out of season is your master. I believe it's Proverbs 6:2 that says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken by and with thy words. Four things do not come back, Proverbs says. The spoken word, a sped arrow, the past life, and a neglected opportunity. And speaking of a spoken word, I heard my good friend Stephen Battles preach a message one time on the tongue and on words. And he said, speaking a negative word is like turning a feather loose in a 90-mile-an-hour wind. You'll never get it back. And that's basically what four things that come not back. During the Boer War, a man was actually court-martialed for speaking discouraging words to the soldiers who were defending his town. The tribunal judged it to be a crime to speak disheartening words at such a critical time. Does that remind you of the 10 spies? That came back with a negative report and said, We can't take the land. Everybody's giants. They had a grasshopper mentality that said, no, we can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, we are more than able to take the land. Let's go. How many of you know who the nation listened to? For quite a while, they listened to Joshua and Caleb. They were disheartened. They were troubled. They were worried. And they actually said, let's go back to Egypt. At least there we had the melons and the leeks and the garlics. Even though we had slavery and no freedom, let's go back to Egypt. But it was Joshua and Caleb that still the people under the leadership of Moses and said, let's go forward. Let's go on and take the land. But you know, it cost them 40 years in the wilderness. 40 in the Bible means testing and proving and trying for 40 long years. Developing the word of encouragement. How many of you know that encouraging other people and living in that realm is a lifestyle that we choose to live? Ephesians 4:29, I really like this verse of scripture. It said, let no, would you say with me, no? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Encouragement is achieved through the careful selection of words that are intended to influence another person meaningfully and impart grace to their hearts and increase them toward godliness. Haggai the prophet said this, yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Zodak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. God always had an encouraging voice to his people. Encouragement has the idea of one person joining another on a journey and speaking words that encourage the traveler to keep pressing on despite the obstacles and fatigue. I think about husbands and wives, how that we fulfill that in each other's life. We are taking a life journey together and we are forever looking for words of encouragement, strength, faith, hope, love, courage to share with one another that we can strengthen one another despite the obstacles and the fatigue and everything that goes with life. Encouragement means the shedding of shallow, empty words, replacing them with meaningful words. Good to see you. Let's get together sometime. I know you can accomplish that. Encouragement is not committed to sharing of ourselves so much as it is sharing the Lord by ministry to others' needs. We may share with others, but we can never fully depend on others, only the Lord. Opportunities for encouragement will go unrecognized unless we consciously choose to look for people who need a word of encouragement. Hidden opportunities for encouragement will surface as we discern people's needs and are sensitive to those needs. I can assure you we all have opportunities, usually many times a day, to share encouraging words with somebody. And as we take those opportunities, it makes us feel better when we feel positive words and share positive words than when we join in the negative atmosphere or attitude that's going on and let it pull us down. Biblical examples of encouragers, and I just share a few with you this morning. Moses was a great encourager as a leader. The Lord told him, encourage Joshua. He's the one that's going to take the people into Canaan land. Strengthen him and encourage him. Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let's go up at once and take the land, for we are well able. Barnabas, whose name means son of consolation or encouragement, a Levite of the country Cyprus, he was a great man. In Acts 11, the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all. that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Did anybody ever encourage you to continue with the Lord? Look, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Hang in there. It's going to get brighter. It's going to get lighter. It's going to get better. Don't quit. Don't give up. How many times have we heard that from somebody that loved us and somebody that cared about us? I'm sure Bob Berger and Bob Kane both need to hear those words today. Don't give up. Don't be too discouraged. Don't be weary because of these accidents. But let's fight. Let's pick up the towel and let's move forward and not throw the towel in the ring just yet. Our battle's not over. Our victory hasn't been won complete yet. Judas and Silas in the Bible, they said much to encourage and strengthen the brethren. They were both prophets. And the Apostle Paul, he was always encouraging others of the house of God wherever he went. At the house of Lydia, the Bible said he talked and ministered to them, and they encouraged them and departed. They were always encouraging other people. Acts 20, the Bible talked about Paul encouraging the disciples with many words. In Colossians, that your hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. Can you hear the men of God and the women of God speaking these words of encouragement and strength, support, kindness and hope and faith to one another? And they, I can tell you, they lived in much, much harder times than we did as far as the church was concerned. Titus, he said, I'm sending you, Titus, to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Epaphroditus, yet I considered it necessary to send him to you, my brother and fellow worker, my messenger and the one who ministers to your needs. Onesiphorus, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, Paul said. You like for people to refresh you? It's better than being drugged down. It's better than have cold water threw on you. Nice warm water is much better. That refreshes. And he said, greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus, for they often refresh me, and they're not ashamed of my chains. They're not ashamed of my imprisonment, and they often refresh me. How many of you are aware of signs of discouragement? Let me just share a few with you this morning. To be discouraged is to be disheartened, to lose heart, to be faint-hearted, downcast, and ready to give up. A feeling of despair in the face of obstacles, it's losing courage, confidence, and hope. Everyone will share these times at some point of discouragement in their life. We've all been there, and maybe we'll be in the future. Sleeplessness, the mind and the soul are full of worry. Restlessness, absent-minded sets in and weariness results. Complacency, loss of interest in most things. Negative thoughts, seeing most things from a negative perspective. We always see the glass half full. We don't see it, or we see it half empty, not half full. Frustration, unfinished tasks, and feeling overwhelmed. How many of you have been there? I've been at one of those places of the five in my life at some time or other. And many times we fight off those things daily. Every great work, every big accomplishment has been brought to manifestation through holding the vision. And often just before the big achievement comes, apparent failure and discouragement. It's called the birth of a vision, the death of a vision, and the fulfillment of a vision. I lived in the death of the vision for the school for many years. I had the birth. I knew what God wanted it, and I believed in it with all of my heart. But a lot of death, I experienced a lot of death in that particular vision. But as you heard this morning, and as we are seeing, it's beginning to rise out of the ashes. It's beginning to rise out of your faith. It's been beginning to rise out of your commitment. The birth, the death, the fulfillment. It's part of life. But thank God for the fulfillment of a vision. If you look at every great event in the Bible and every great man or woman, you'll find the experience. Birth, death, fulfillment. Birth, death, fulfillment. Even Jesus himself. Birth, death, fulfillment. You can follow the apostles. You can follow every great event. And people that were believing God for great things, you can look in the natural or in the spiritual, and many people experienced this in their lives. But they didn't quit. Easiest thing in the world is throw in the towel and say, the hell with it, I ain't doing that no more. I'm quitting. Easiest thing in the world to throw in the towel and say, I'm done. But it takes real men and women of God to say, you know what? This didn't work, but I'm not quitting. I'm not going anyplace. I'm trusting God. I'm hanging in the race. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I may fail, and I may get beat around and slapped around, but I'm not quitting. An old friend of mine told me one time, he said, you ain't beat until you say I'm beat. And I'm not going to say I'm beat. I'm going to fight her until the last breath, Mark. I'm going to fight it and live the life and preach the gospel and speak the word of God until I draw my last breath. And Jesus transports me into glory. And the church said, don't be discouraged, people of God. It comes to every one of us. It comes in many shapes, colors, forms, and sizes. But the God in us is greater than all of it. And through faith, we are overcomers and we are more than conquerors and we are encouragers. People who need encouragement, they're all over the place. Look around. Be open. There's people who are oppressed, people who are brokenhearted, people who are heart faint, they're fainting, they're fainted. I thought about Bob. Bob had been helping me on a job at my house, and actually Bob saved me about $160 this week. That's a good brother, isn't it? Saved me about $160, showed me how to do a job that I was going to do that was going to cost me about 3 days' work. And because of Bob, we got it done in about a day and a half. And he saved me a whole lot of money. But I'm going to tell you right now, Bob's in the fire. If you read Bob's statistics from his fall, he fell on concrete on his head and his right shoulder this week and broke ribs, fractured vertebrae. Brain bleed, and I mean lots of problems. But Bob was only in the hospital a few days. He's already home, and we're going to trust that he's going to get all right. Sandy needs him back in Shiners, and I need him back under my house. Not really. I went ahead and finished it thanks to my grandson, the plumbing we was working on. But, you know, Bob can go through about a 10-inch hole. I can't go through a 10-inch hole. Not even close. It's funny. Bob is really such a good brother. He knew I was doing the job, and he came over at my house, I guess, Monday night because he felt sorry for me. And I never called him or anything. I usually call him when I really need him. But I didn't call him, but he just showed up. And Barb said, you call him? I said, no, I didn't call him. He just felt sorry for his little brother. He came over. And, of course, he crawled under the house, which I couldn't get under. And told me, you know, what we needed to do and how we needed to do it. And I knew it was going to be a little rough, but we got the job done. All the plumbing replaced under my house, all the drain, whole new drain system. And we can take a shower now without the shower backing up. Isn't that nice? Or without the stool backing up and making messes. Many people brokenhearted, fainthearted. Many people downcast. Many people worry. And the Bible talks about Jesus and different men and women of God who came on the scene to give us, heal the oppressed and heal the brokenhearted and bind up the brokenhearted and to Give strength to the faint-hearted, the downcast, to lift them up, the weary. Let's not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, proper time, we'll receive if we faint not. You know, if you faint and you throw in the towel, you're done. But if you hang in there and you're not weary in well-doing, let somebody encourage you. And you know, that's one of America's greatest faults, is independence and standing alone. Instead of letting brothers and sisters and people around you encourage you and help you and share that burden with them and let them come alongside you and lift you up and help you. How to become an encourager. This is really what I wanted to get to today. I want to share five ways with you how to become an encourager. I think we have this on transparency. And this is so important, be encouraged in God yourself. Church, if you ain't up yourself, you can't lift nobody else up. I've told people, many people over the year, my family and other people, when I've went through trials and tests and situations, I got to be in the pulpit Sunday. I can't be down. I got to be in the pulpit Wednesday. I got to face kids on the bus. I've got to face my family. I can't be down. I can't afford to get down and stay down. If I get down, I can't stay down very long. Are you hearing me? I can't. Because too much is at stake. So whatever it takes to get me up, I encourage myself in the Lord. I receive encouragement and praise from other people, which I get much of that from people. And we can't stay down. Be an encouraged in God yourself. Keep yourself encouraged. If you get down, you're doing one of the greatest injustices to your family you can ever do. There ain't nobody likes an old mope and an old complainer and an old person that's negative about everything in life. It'll pull you down. It'll affect your children. It'll affect your grandchildren. It'll affect your life, and it'll affect your mate, and you shouldn't ought to put people through that. Now, I'm going to not even charge you for that this morning. Be encouraged in God yourself, and whatever it takes for you to be encouraged, do it. And you know what it takes yourself to keep you encouraged in the Lord. And I found out regular communion with God, for me, is one of the greatest things that keeps me encouraged in God. Now, the second thing that keeps me greatly encouraged in God is sharing with people. Sharing with people, talking to people. Seeing somebody that's worse than I am and worse than so-and-so and going to them and saying, hey, you know what? God loves you. You're going to overcome this. You're going to be all right. Just hang in there. What can I do for you? And you know what? It lifts you right up. Be encouraged in God yourself. Have a strong heart and a strong spirit and enough energy to jump somebody else's battery. It's terrible when somebody around you battery goes dead and you don't have any fire to jump them. You must receive your strength from God. Save me, O Lord, for the waters have come up to my neck. Listen to David. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I've come into deep water where the floods overflow me. God, save me. Now, come on. I'm having tests all day Thursday that I'm not going to like. God, save me. Come on. God, save me. Number two, look for opportunities to be an encourager. Look for every opportunity you can to encourage somebody. And I'll tell you, a lot of it comes right at your family, right at your mate, right at your kids, right at your neighbor, right out your door. Look for opportunities to encourage somebody. Always be concerned about somebody rather than yourself. Don't be self-absorbed. Some people are so self-absorbed, it makes me want to throw up. I can't believe you said that, Pastor. Well, I'm telling you, it's the truth. Some people are so self-absorbed. They're the only one, they think they're the only ones ever had to go to work early. They think they're the only ones that ever got sick. They think they're the only ones that ever lost a loved one. Come on, church, we're all in this together. We're all like humans. And it may be a little test, a little different trial, or a little different valley, or a hardship, or whatever it may be, but don't be negative about it. Encourage. Speak words of encouragement. Speak words of life. We frame our world by the words we speak. The world you live in today is what it is because of what's coming out of your mouth. And if you want it changed, change what's coming out of your mouth. If you want a better marriage, won't you take inventory of what you're saying to your mate? Change it. If you want a better relationship with your kids, change what's coming out of your mouth and watch it change before your very eyes. Look for every opportunity you can to be an encourager. Romans 15:1, we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And number three, take the time to encourage others. When you see it, when you sense that somebody needs to encourage, and I want to say something to you. Sometimes we think certain people are real strong and they're not like us, and they just don't need encouraged. That is not the truth. And they may be strong. And they may always seem to be the one who brings the encouragement, but I'll guarantee you, those people need just encouragement like you do. So don't think, well, they don't need it, because we all need it. We all need it, and we can all give it through the love of Jesus Christ. Take time out of your busy schedule. Encouragement takes time. We cannot just always be in a hurry. Make a phone call, have that conversation. Write that note. Text someone. Give them some words of hope. And then four, come alongside the discouraged. Meet them at their level, whether it's the hospital room, the mental ward, the bed at home, wherever it's at, meet them at their level. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Come alongside the discouraged, the hurting, the discouraged, the oppressed, the lonely, whoever it may be. We need to come alongside them. I'm glad there's been times in my life when somebody came alongside me and said, come on, let's go. It's going to be okay. And the last one this morning, use positive words of faith to build others up. Positive words of faith to build others up. Give words of approval. You're doing a great job. That was a great meal. I really appreciate the way you keep the house clean. I really appreciate you washing clothes. I haven't washed my clothes for 48 years. And I didn't wash them before. My mama did. I've really never washed clothes except one load. One load. Barb was training me, one load. And she said, nah, you ain't doing that. Because I thought after one load I knew everything. I really didn't plan that. But she banned me from the wash machine. Use positive words. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Can you see God the Father looking at Jesus then? Son, I want you to know I'm really well pleased with you. You ever look at your son or daughter and say, you know what? I'm really well pleased with you. That would be speaking a biblical thing. Your grandchildren and saying, you know what? I'm really well, you're doing a good job. Church, those words sometimes you just don't really realize how much they mean to a person and what they'll do for a person. Don Basham said this, and you remember Don Basham, anybody? You probably don't. Don Basham was right about the time of W.V. Grant, and he took one of those guys' places. I can't remember which one it was, but Don Basham said this: our approval bucket is filled. As our approval bucket is filled, our entire personality flourishes. But if that bucket remains empty, the personality withers and suffers deprivation. Two scriptures in closing this morning, Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Use positive words of faith to build up others. And let's just go over them together. Be encouraged in God yourself. Look for opportunities to be an encourager. Take the time to encourage others. Come alongside the discouraged and use positive words of faith to build up others. Would you stand with me this morning?